This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear brothers and sisters, as we all know, we have made it to almost two-thirds of the month of Ramadan, and now the last 10 days, the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan are upon us. And indeed, these last 10 days and 10 nights are very, very special days for us. We know this obviously from the guidance and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know, for example, that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha told us about the Prophet sallam, that during these 10 days, he used to work hard, she says, unlike any other days. And what this working hard means is working hard in the obedience and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this narration is actually amazing. Because if you were to look at the life of the Prophet, you would never look at his worship and say, he's not doing enough, or he's not doing that much. You would always, the Sahaba, they would always look at the worship of Prophet, and it was always the epitome of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, Aisha, she says, when the last 10 nights and the 10 days came, his worship went to another level. And this shows us that it was indeed, there was a difference between the last 10 days and the rest of Ramadan, the rest of the year as well. And so for us, our goal in these last 10 days, the last 10 nights, is that we have to make sure that they are unlike any other days of the year. And I'm sorry, what I can't do for you is I can't tell you exactly what you need to be doing. I can give you some general advice, some general things that we can do in the last 10 days, but as for yourself, that's a personal matter that you need to judge for yourself. And what that means is you say to yourself, well, in the last 20 days, I have been doing such and such and such. You know, maybe you've been reciting some Quran during the day. Maybe you've been praying your five daily prayers on time. Maybe you've been adding to that your sunnah prayers. And so, during that first part of Ramadan, you have stepped up your game. You have been doing more than the rest of the year. But these last 10 days, it has to be something more than that. Whatever it may be on a personal level. So maybe you weren't praying your sunnahs. Maybe you were just sticking to your fard prayers, which is a good thing, alhamdulillah. But in the last 10 days, you say, well, for myself, my personal goal is that in these last 10 days, I make sure that I pray all of my sunnahs for my prayers. And even with the Quran, maybe you weren't reciting the Quran. But in the last 10 days, you say to yourself, I'll at least recite half a page, or a quarter page, or a couple ayat from the Quran, meaning there has to be a difference between the rest of Ramadan and these last 10 days, the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. We know that our spirituality must go up. And we see this in certain actions that are more specific to the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. For example, the action, the worship of i'tikaf, which is to seclude ourselves in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know we tend to think of i'tikaf as coming in the masjid and, you know, spending time in the masjid and eating in the masjid and sleeping in the masjid and all that. And yes, that's part of i'tikaf. But the spirit of i'tikaf is seclusion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is something that, you know, during the rest of the year, we really don't get time for that. Our lives are busy, we have so much going on, we have our families and our relationships and so on and so forth. How much time do we spend with just ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The last 10 days, that i'tikaf, what that means is that we put everything else aside. We put our jobs and our other issues of life and all that, and we take moments, at least moments out of our days and our nights when it is just us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know we pray Taraweeh and we pray Qiyam al-Layl in Jama'ah, and that is a good thing, alhamdulillah. But my advice is that during the last 10 days, and especially during the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, there has to be some prayers, something which is just between you and Allah. Maybe it's just two rak'ahs that you pray by yourself. You're in your house, your family's sleeping, your kids are sleeping, your spouse is sleeping, and you wake up and just maybe just two short rak'ahs where nobody is watching you, and you know that you are alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Specific to the last 10 days and 10 nights is Laylatul Qadr. the night of decree, or as some people call it, the night of power. We know that Laylatul Qadr, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, is khayrun min alfi shahr, is better than 1,000 months. And what that means for us is that the worship that we do on Laylatul Qadr, this night, is better than the worship of 1,000 months. And this is supposed to motivate us to seek out Laylatul Qadr. And one of the traps that we fall into, subhanAllah, as the Muslim community, is sometimes we will argue and we will debate the exact night of Laylatul Qadr. So some people will say, no, it is the night of the 27th. Some people say, no, it is the 29th. Some people say, I saw signs and I know that it was the 25th, and so on and so forth. And subhanAllah, every year we see this discussion take place. And if you're online, subhanAllah, every year somebody posts something about saying, well, when really is Laylatul Qadr? Is it really the night of the 27th? Is it the night of the 29th, and so on and so forth? And you know, the point of Laylatul Qadr is not that we argue over which exact night it is supposed to be. You know, the scholars, subhanAllah, when they look at this issue, they pose a question. They say, why is it that we don't have a crystal clear narration from the Prophet ﷺ when he said the night of the 27th is Laylatul Qadr? Could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have done that? Of course. Allah could have told us exactly, Allah could have made it the same night every Ramadan and told us it is the night of the 27th or 29th or whatever night. But the scholars mentioned a beautiful point. That point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has on purpose, and Allah does everything on purpose. There's wisdom in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on purpose has left this matter to be fairly ambiguous. Why? It is fairly ambiguous, so we strive on every single night during these last 10 nights. If you were told for sure it is the night of the 27th, what would happen is you probably just relax the other nights, just hang out, and then the night of the 27th, you would make sure you're in the masjid. You would make sure that you pray all your prayers, which unfortunately, subhanAllah, happens now. Right? To worship Allah on the night of the 27th, like I said, it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. But to leave out the other nights and only worship Allah on the night of the 27th, that is what the problem is. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet ﷺ didn't tell us the exact date. Is Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan? Yes. Is it more likely to be in the odd nights? Yes. Is it more likely to be on the night of the 27th? Yes. Is it that for sure? No. And the reason is, so we work hard on every single night. That yes, there are signs and we have feelings and so on and so forth. And some scholars are of the opinion, subhanAllah, and this is, yes, it's a minority opinion, but some scholars are of the opinion that Laylatul Qadr can differ from person to person. That a person may feel, subhanAllah, that for them, the night of the 25th was Laylatul Qadr. And another person may feel that for me, the night of the 27th was Laylatul Qadr. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best which night was Laylatul Qadr. Why? So that we work hard in those last 10 nights, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to encourage other people to worship Allah as well. And you know, this is something which is almost lost, is almost leaving our ummah today. And that is encouraging one another to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Encouraging one another to do good. And we're making Islam almost a deen, which is just a personal deen. Where we say, you know, my Islam is about my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's it. And you know, that is one extreme regarding this issue. The other extreme, by the way, is the person who goes around and hammers people with fatwas, right? Everything you're doing is haram or halal and so on and so forth. That's the other extreme. And we as Muslims, we have to find the middle path where we invite people to goodness in the best of manners. We use wisdom and we use knowledge and we invite people to goodness upon knowledge, but we don't stop inviting others to goodness. Especially our families. Especially those who are close to us. And this is why the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ we know is, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha once again tells us that not only did he stand and pray during the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, وَأَيْقَدَ أَهْلَهُ. He woke up his family. He would encourage his family to wake up. And that is why for us, our families are important. Our community is important. Our goal has to be that we make the last 10 nights as conducive as possible for not only our families, but our community as well. And the question that I will pose to myself, first of all, and the rest of us, is what are we doing this Ramadan to make sure that our masjid is welcoming? To make sure that the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make it welcoming for people. Are we calling up people and helping them come to the masjid? Are we creating an environment where everybody feels welcome in the masjid? Because wallahi, that was the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, where every type of individual felt welcome in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. Whether it be the most pious person or the most sinful person, every person felt that the masjid is a place of spirituality. A masjid is a place where they can go and they can raise their iman. Unfortunately, sometimes we look at the masjid and we think the masjid is only for those people who are pious. Only those people who worship Allah regularly. And if we see somebody who is outwardly sinful come to masjid, we'll look down upon them. We'll be judgmental towards them. We'll call them out. When we don't realize that this person who may be outwardly sinful, they may be in the most need of being in the masjid. They may be in most need of the spiritual environment. We have to create an environment, especially in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. Because as we know, more and more people flock to the masjid. There are people who come to the masjid during the last 10 nights of Ramadan that may never come other times of the year. So our responsibility, the regular masjid goers, the people who come to the masjid regularly, is that we go out of our way to make sure that the masjid is welcoming for them. We see somebody make a mistake. We see somebody do something wrong. If we're going to advise them, we advise them in the most gentle way. We advise them privately. And that is from the fiqh of advising people. Sometimes, you know, we're in a rush to advise people, tell people right from wrong, and we forget that there are conditions and there is wisdom on how we advise people. To advise someone publicly, for example, as one of the scholars said, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, he said, to advise someone publicly is to condemn that person. When you stand up, when we stand up in front of everybody, and we tell this person, what you're doing is wrong, please don't tell me that this is advice. Because this is condemnation. If we really wanted to advise that person, we would take them aside. We would take them aside privately, personally, talk to them and say, I noticed something that you did. And as far as my knowledge goes, as far as what I understand, this may be incorrect. Maybe this is something that we need to correct. That is how we advise people. That is how the masjid has to be. And I'll share with you one quick story of the Prophet ﷺ, of a man who comes to the masjid, a Bedouin man. He comes to the masjid, not any masjid, the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, Masjid al-Nabawi, the second most sacred place on the face of the earth. He comes to the masjid, and in one narration, he goes to the side of the masjid. In another narration, he comes to the middle of the masjid, and he starts urinating in the masjid. He starts urinating in the middle of the masjid. And the companions of the Prophet, they're shocked to see someone come to the masjid and start going to the bathroom in the middle of the masjid. And they're about to get up and to go stop him. And the Prophet says, leave him, let him finish. Can you imagine? The Sahaba now are witnessing somebody urinating in the middle of the masjid. And the Prophet says, no, don't stop him, let him finish. And he finishes urinating in the middle of the masjid. And then the Prophet goes to him, goes to this man. And he explains to him in the kindest and gentlest way. He says to him, these masajid, these are places of worship. These are places where we make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We remember Allah, we recite the Quran, we worship Allah. These are not places meant for najasa. They're not places meant for impurity and filth. And now this person, this Bedouin man, he understands. Because you know what? From the perspective of the Bedouin man, and sometimes we don't realize this when we advise people, the perspective of the person that we're advising, from the perspective of the Bedouin man, the Bedouin lifestyle, they were used to urinating wherever they wanted. When you're constantly traveling, you're constantly out in the desert, whenever you need to sleep, you sleep. Whenever you need to walk, you walk. Whenever you need to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. They don't have different places for different things. And so this concept of a special place in which only worship is done, that was something strange for him. He didn't know that. He didn't understand that. And the Prophet ﷺ approached this issue from his perspective. And that is why he explained to him that, you know, you may not understand this before this, but understand that we have different places for different things. And this man is so happy that the Prophet ﷺ explained to him in the kindest way, that he says, oh Allah, have mercy on Muhammad and no one else. And he says no one else because he thought that everyone else is going to attack him. And he was so happy with the way the Prophet ﷺ advised him. Now my question to you is, how do you think we would react if someone walked into our masjid, Islamic Center of Maryland, ICM, and started urinating in the middle of the masjid. Do you think we would have the patience to let him finish? As a matter of fact, what happens when somebody's cell phone goes off? And may Allah protect the brother or sister whose cell phone goes off and there's music on the cell phone. We might have a ruckus in the masjid. But that is the difference between the masjid of the Prophet and our masjid. And not to discredit our masjid, there's a lot of good that happens here, but there's always room to improve. And this last 10 days, as I said, are the days in which we need to be hopeful. We need to bring people to the masjid. And that is why sometimes we make our worship a type of worship where we get people to lose hope. Guilting people, reminding them only of their sins and not reminding them of the goodness that is in them. And you know, that is the job of the shaitan. It is the job of the shaitan, Iblis, whose name Iblis actually literally means a loss of hope, despair. It is the job of the shaitan to get people to lose hope. You're a bad Muslim. You're not good enough. You're never going to be better. You're never going to make it to Jannah. You're never going to be good enough to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so on and so forth. That is the job of the shaitan. Our job is to encourage goodness in people, is to give them hope. And amongst those people is, first of all, ourselves. We have to remind ourselves in these last 10 nights that our worship can very well grant us Jannah. Because as I said in the last week's talk, that is our goal. Our goal is Jannah. It's not the specific acts of worship, it is to attain Jannah. We never know what action we will take, what worship we will do in these last 10 nights that will grant us Jannah. We need to strive hard, and we also need to have that hope. Hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept from us our worship. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our acts of worship. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us and bless us with a character similar to the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. والله تعالى أعلم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وجزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.